Welcome to the Tabernacle of David Restored. Please enjoy this teaching by Jaco van der Merwe. I hope that you enjoy this teaching.
Jeremiah Study Part 2, Lesson 6. Jeremiah and the Last Kings of Israel, the Book of the Law, Colossians and Romans chapter 6 and 7. Presented by Jaco van der Merwe, the Tabernacle of David Restored in Edom. Matthew 23, verse 8 to 10. But you must not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, Christ, and you are all brothers. And call no one your father on earth, for one is your father in heaven. Nor be called teachers, for one is your teacher, even Christ. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 to 17. But even men and seducers will go forward to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a babe you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scriptures is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected, thoroughly furnished through every good work. Colossians 2, verse 8 to 12. Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, raising him from the dead. We are still busy with King Josiah, who read the book of the law and went into despair because of the message of condemnation that was written in it. Up until this point, the focus of the study was to show that the Torah is not just one continuous work from Genesis to Deuteronomy. The law, as it is used in the New Testament, have different segments to it. We need to understand these segments if we want to know what the New Testament message is. All of Scripture is doctrine for our understanding. I mentioned in part 1, lesson 9, the principle of the end being revealed from the beginning. I also mentioned that Scripture is written in cycles of repeating patterns. Knowing this, Paul gave us a message in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that everything written of old was written as examples and forewarning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. And all these things happened to them as examples, and is written for our warning, on whom the ends of the world have come. So let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptations also will make a way to escape, so that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my dear beloved, flee from idolatry. The story of Jeremiah and the last kings of Israel give us the story of what happened in the last days before Yahweh terminated the covenant with Israel because of idolatry. Yahweh gave us this for our warning, on whom the ends of the world have come. King Josiah spent 5 to 6 years, from the age of 21 to 26, to clean out the idolatry from all the lands of Israel. When the book of the law was read to him, he understood the message, because he knew the idolatry in the land, and the condemnation that was written in the book of the law was very clear, that if you, Israel, worship other gods, or even worship me like the nations worship their gods, with images and idols, all the curses of this book of the law will come upon you, Israel. Josiah sent Hilkiah, the high priest, with some of his other advisers to go inquire from Yahweh what this message of the book of the law meant, and they went to Hilda, a prophetess. She inquired from Yahweh, and the message was that all these curses written in this book of the law will be executed on the house of Israel that was left in the land. Why did Yahweh not forgive their sins this time? In the books of 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, we read that King Josiah walked like David his father did, meaning that he walked righteous towards Yahweh. But reading through the prophets, all the way back from the prophet Amos, up until Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we read about the hearts of the people. In the terms of being a nation, their hearts were never circumcised even since they left Egypt. There was always a remnant of saints that walked after Yahweh and kept his commandments, ordinances and statutes, but Israel as a nation always fell back to Baal worship in almost every generation, with maybe one or two being the exception. It was during the time of King Josiah that Yahweh had enough of this. The destruction of all Israel and the surrounding nations was now at hand. Yahweh was going to destroy the known world as his people knew it. This story is our example of what and why we will have tribulation in the last days. It also tells us of how Yahweh will save his people, the remnant of Israel, who did not bow down to idolatry and Baal worship. For this teaching, we are going to read the blessings and the curses that is written in the book of the law. We will also look at some of Paul's writings, at exactly what Paul said was done away with. Condemnation of the law. So far, I broke the Torah up into several parts. We have the creation account, which included everything of how Israel came into existence of being a nation whom Yahweh chose to be his people. This was done purely on a promise that he made of himself to Abraham. This promise came into its fulfillment at Mount Sinai and was written in the Book of the Covenant. Paul told us in Galatians that this covenant is of faith. As Yahweh was giving Israel, his people, the conditions of this covenant, of how to uphold it, they built a golden calf and worshipped the right God wrongly. This caused a change in the law, as we say. The book of Hebrews explains the result of this change. I made the claim that the Aaronic priesthood would have happened disregard of the golden calf or not. But the temple was to be to the service of the Israelites, who became a kingdom of righteous priests. Well, that was what they were supposed to be. The change in the law made them servants to this priesthood, instead of having this priesthood be a service to them. We have a lot of history written in the Torah as a whole that serve as examples, as Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, of exactly what not to do. In part 2, lesson 2, we discussed the Korah incident that happened because the people did not do what Yahweh said regarding this change in the law. Yahweh killed that whole generation that left Egypt because they did not do what he said. When the new generation finished the condemnation that was against them, they finally entered the land and Moses did a renewal of the covenant that was made at Mount Sinai with this new generation. This was written in the book of the law, or Torah. This book of the law was placed on the outside of the Ark of the Covenant so that it could be a witness against Israel if they should ever break the covenant made between them and Yahweh. The book of the law is written in a way of ordinances. An ordinance is a decree of direction. In the case of the book of the law, it was given in the form of blessings and curses. If the commandments given are kept, it becomes our wisdom, understanding and righteousness, as it is written in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 6. And you shall keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Deuteronomy 6 verse 25. And if we are careful to do all the things commanded before Jehovah our God, as he has commanded us, it shall be our righteousness. But if we do not keep the commandments, it will cause condemnation. Last week we read a whole bunch of verses that lead to the condemnation if they are not kept, so I am not going to focus on this again. The reason Yahweh gave us this book of the law is so that we have a fence of protection, so that we do not fall into idolatry. Yahweh is a jealous God, and He made this very clear in the first commandment. Moses explained this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and it is repeated over and over throughout the book of Deuteronomy. We will not worship Yahweh in any other way than what He said. Let's read Colossians chapter 2 before we read the blessings and curses. A life in Christ, Colossians 2 verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anybody rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. I am sure that you have noticed that after the change in the law, that there is no oral traditions written in our Bibles. The oral traditions were specific to the Levitical priesthood and the service of the Israelites to the tabernacle and later the temple. We lost that temple, and with it, all traditions that went with it are abolished. You can read the conditions that Yahweh put on the temple that Solomon dedicated in 1 Kings chapter 8 and 9, and then the failure of the tribe of Levi and Judah in Malachi chapters 1, 2, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, raising Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. These ordinances are the ordinances of condemnation that was now against Israel, Yahweh's people, because of idolatry. The final decree of this was given by Huldah the prophetess to the advisers of King Josiah. These decrees of condemnations were nailed to the cross when Yeshua died and was resurrected, and He established the covenant of Jeremiah 31:31, which is built upon the faith of the book of the covenant in Exodus chapter 24. Ephesians chapter 2 explains this. Colossians 2 verse 15. Having stripped rulers and authorities, He made a show of them publicly, triumphing over them in it. Let no one disqualify you. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or in respect of a feast, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbaths. For these are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The house of Judah today accuses us of not being in covenant, and they judge us for doing the mentioned things here. Judaism has a whole oral law thing about food regarding the feast of Yahweh, and by only Jews are allowed to take part in them. Let no one defraud you, delighting in humility and worship of the angels, intruding into things which he has not seen, without a cause, being vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from whom all the body, having been supplied through the joints and bands, and having been joined together, will grow with the growth of God. If then you died with Christ from the elements of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which things are all for corruption in the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men? These things indeed have a reputation of wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility, and unsparing severity of the body, but are not of any value for the satisfying of the flesh. The Torah as a whole is the ordinances of Yahweh and of Christ. The law is designed to protect us from falling into idolatry and angel worship according to the traditions of men and the world. Blessings and curses, condemnation of the law. Our focus is more on what King Josiah read that caused him to tear his garments, but we will read the blessings as well, just to add some good news. Curses from Mount Ebal. Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 9. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, "Take heed and listen, O Israel, today you have become the people of Jehovah your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of Jehovah your God, and do his commandments and his statutes which I command you today." And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal, the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levite shall speak and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, 'Cursed is the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination to Jehovah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place,' and all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who thinks lightly of his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who makes the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who prevents the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife, because he uncovers his father's skirt, and all the people say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who takes the reward to kill an innocent person, and all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who does not conform to all the words of this law, to do them, and all the people say, 'Amen.'" You will notice that these curses mentioned are directly connected to the Ten Commandments. These are all secret things that people do that can easily be hidden from the congregation, but Yahweh sees all and will hold people accountable if they do not repent of these. Blessings for obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1. "And it will be, if you shall listen carefully to the voice of Jehovah your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, Jehovah your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you will listen to the voice of Jehovah your God. You shall be blessed in the city, and be blessed in the field. The fruit of your body shall be blessed, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your cows, and the flocks of your sheep. Your baskets and your store shall be blessed, and you shall be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out. Jehovah shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and flee before you seven ways. Jehovah shall command these blessings on you in your storehouses, and all that you set your hand to, and he shall bless you in the land which Jehovah your God gives you. Jehovah shall establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of Jehovah your God and walk in his ways. This verse 9 is the promise of faith in Exodus chapter 19 verse 6, and is still present in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Jehovah, and they shall be afraid of you. And Jehovah shall prosper you in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and in the land which Jehovah swore to your fathers to give you. Jehovah shall open to you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the works of your hand. And you shall loan to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And Jehovah shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be always above, and you shall not be beneath, if you listen to the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you today to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. These blessings will come into its fullness when Yeshua comes back after the tribulation and re-establishes Israel as his people, a kingdom forever. Curses for disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15. And it shall be, if you will not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, to observe all to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. You shall be a curse in the city, and accursed in the field. Your basket and your store shall be cursed. The fruit of your body shall be cursed, and the fruit of your land, the increase of your cows, and the flocks of your sheep. You shall be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. Jehovah shall send on you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. Jehovah shall make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. Jehovah shall strike you with the lung disease and with fever, and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth that is under your iron. Jehovah shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. It shall come down from the heavens on you until you are destroyed. Jehovah shall cause you to be stricken before your enemies. You shall go one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a trembling to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your body shall be food to all the birds of the air, and the beasts of the earth, and no man shall frighten them away. Jehovah will strike you with the boils of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, of which you cannot be healed. Jehovah shall strike you with the madness and blindness and astonishment of the heart. Isaiah spoke about this blindness that happened during the time of King Uzziah in chapter 6 verse 9. Paul also speaks about this in Romans chapter 11 verse 8 and 25. Verse 29. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall always be pressed down and spoilt forever, and no man shall save you. You shall become engaged to a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes of it. The ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat of it. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep given to your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Verse 32. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to other people, and your eyes shall look and fail for them all day long, and there shall be no power in your hand. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall be eaten up by a nation which you do not know, and you shall always be oppressed and crushed, and you shall be mad because of that which you see with the sight of your eyes. Jehovah shall strike you in the knees and in the legs with an evil ulcer that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Jehovah shall bring you and your king which you shall set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where Jehovah shall lead you. You shall carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather little in it, for the locusts shall eat it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink the wine nor gather, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coasts, but you shall not anoint with the oil, for your oil shall drop off its fruit. You shall father sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All your trees and the fruit of your land the locusts shall possess. The stranger within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him, and he shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Verse 45. And all these curses shall come on you, and shall pursue you and overtake you, until you are destroyed, because you did not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be on you for a sign and for a wonder, and on your seed for ever. Because you did not serve Jehovah your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies which Jehovah shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in the lack of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The yoke was one of the things that Jeremiah gave during the time of King Josiah, and then again during the time of King Zedekiah. In the time of Zedekiah, the wooden yoke was replaced with an iron one. Verse 49. Jehovah shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation fierce of face, who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land, until you are destroyed. He shall not leave your grain, wine or oil, the increase of your livestock, or flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you. And he shall besiege you in all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down, throughout all your land. And he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land which Jehovah your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which Jehovah your God has given you, in the siege and in the anguish which your enemy shall distress you. The man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the rest of his sons which he has left. Verse 55. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his sons whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left to him in the siege and in the anguish with which your enemy shall distress you in all your gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, who would not have ventured to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil towards her husband of her bosom, and towards her son, and towards her daughter, and towards her young one, who comes out from between her feet, and towards her sons whom she shall bear. For she shall eat them secretly for lack of all things, in the siege and anguish with which your enemy shall distress you in your gates. During the time of King Josiah, this prophecy already happened in part to the northern tribes with the Assyrians, during the time of King Hezekiah, and was going to happen to its fullness after the death of King Josiah. This is what we call the principle of partial fulfillment. Verse 58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that is written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, Jehovah your God, then Jehovah will make your plagues remarkable, and the plagues of your seed great and persistent plagues, with evil and long-lasting sicknesses. Also, he will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, Jehovah will bring them on you until you are destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of the heavens for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Jehovah your God. And it shall be, as Jehovah rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Jehovah will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. Just before the death of King Zedekiah, he will inquire from Jeremiah to ask Yahweh for mercy. Verse 64. And Jehovah shall scatter you among all people, from the one end of the earth even to the other, and you shall serve other gods there, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. In Jeremiah chapter 10, Yahweh gives instruction about this. In Jeremiah chapters 29 to 31, Yahweh gives us new hope that he will keep a remnant of Israel, that he will save by establishing a new covenant with them. This builds upon all the already given prophecies that earlier prophets gave regarding the salvation of Israel, Yahweh's chosen people. Verse 65. And among these nations you shall find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but Jehovah shall give you there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear the day and night, and shall have no assurance of your life. Verse 67. In the morning you shall say, Oh, that it were evening, and at evening you shall say, Oh, that it were morning. For the fear of your heart with which you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And Jehovah shall bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold to your enemies for men slaves and women slaves, and no man shall buy you. The scattering of Yahweh's people started during the Assyrian captivity. And after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, a very small amount of those of the exiles to Babylon ever returned back to the land of Israel. The rest of them never returned up until today. The covenant renewed in Moab. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which Jehovah commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called to all Israel and said to them, You have seen all that Jehovah did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land. Your eyes have seen great trials, the signs and those great miracles. Yet Jehovah has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until today. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not become old on you, and your shoes has not become old on your foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, so that you might know that I am Jehovah your God. Deuteronomy 29 verse 7. And when you come to this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we struck them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, so that you may act wisely in all that you do. You stand today, all of you, before Jehovah your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and your stranger that is in your camp, from the cutter of your wood and to the drawer of your water, so that you should enter into the covenant with Jehovah your God, and into his oath, which Jehovah your God makes you today, that he may establish you today for a people to himself, and that he may be a God to you, as he has said to you, and as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Nor do I make this covenant and this oath with you only, but with him who stands here with us today before Jehovah your God, and also with him that is not here with us today. The context of what is meant by "with him that is not here with us today" is mentioned in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 30. Verse 16. For you know how we have lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed. And you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman, or family or tribe, whose heart turns away today from Jehovah our God, to go serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. Verse 19. And it happened, when he hears the word of this curse, that he shall bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walked in the stubbornness of my heart, to snatch away the drunken with the thirsty. Jehovah will not be willing to forgive him. But then the anger of Jehovah and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie on him, and Jehovah shall blot out his name from under the heavens. In other words, if you bless lawlessness, you will not repent of your sins, and your name will then be removed from the book of life. In Romans chapter 1-3, Paul explains what happened to those who are guilty of lawlessness. The last verse of the context of is Romans 3 verse 31. Do we then make the law void through faith? Let it not be, but we establish the law. You can go read everything from chapter 1 verse 18 for context. Verse 21. And Jehovah shall set him apart to evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. So that the generations to come of your sons shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sickness which Jehovah has laid on it, the whole land shall be burnt with brimstone and salt. It shall not be sown, nor shall it sprout, nor shall there be any grass in it. It shall be like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which Jehovah overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Even all nations shall say, why has Jehovah done this to the land? For what is the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Jehovah, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they did not know, and who had not given to them any portion. Verse 27. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against this land, to bring on it all the curses that are written in this book. And Jehovah rooted them out of their land in anger and wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is today. The secret things belong to Jehovah our God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our sons forever, so that we may do all the words of this law. Repentance for forgiveness. Deuteronomy 30 verse 1-3. And it shall be, when all these things have come on you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and when you shall call them to mind among all the nations where Jehovah your God has driven you, and shall return to Jehovah your God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul, then Jehovah your God will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Jehovah your God has scattered you. This establishes the context of Deuteronomy 29, verse 14 and 15. Nor do I make this covenant and this oath with you only, but with him who stands here with us today before Jehovah your God, and also with him that is not here with us today. Verse 4. If you are driven out into the uttermost parts of the heavens, Jehovah your God will gather you from there, and he will bring you from there. The final scattering of Jehovah's people started in the book of Acts, when Paul persecuted the believers in Yeshua as the Messiah. This persecution never ended, and Yahweh's church was scattered to the four corners of the earth today. We are getting ready for this ingathering mentioned here. Verse 5. And Jehovah your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And Jehovah your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. And Jehovah your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those that you hate, who persecute you. Verse 8. And you shall return and obey the voice of Jehovah and do all his commandments which I command you today. And Jehovah your God will make you have plenty in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land for good. For Jehovah will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. For you shall listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law. And if you turn to Jehovah your God with all your heart, and with all your soul. The choice of life and death. Verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us to the region beyond the sea, and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. In that I command you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. Verse 17. But if you turn away your heart, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record today against you. I have set before your life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, so that both you and your seed may live, so that you may love Jehovah your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may dwell in the land which Jehovah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them. The New Testament connection. Dead to sin, alive to God. Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin, so that grace may abound? Let it not be. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you know that as many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. This old man is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. And the one new man In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, "For he who died has been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourself also to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." Keep in mind that Paul's letters is addressed to the churches in Rome, and he speaks in the context of them being the body of Messiah. Verse 13. "Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God, as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Paul tells us what sin is through his epistles. Paul tells us that even the ungodly knows what is right from wrong, but Yahweh's definition of sin is mentioned in his Torah, and it is summarized in the book of the law. Let's see what the Apostle John said about this. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. "Everyone who partakes sin also partakes lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was revealed that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin." The context of the epistles of John is in terms of lawlessness and the Antichrist, but I quote these verses of Romans and 1 John to point out that we need to know what Yahweh's definition of sin is so that we can repent and stay away from it. Let's continue reading Romans chapter 6, since the context is not completed yet. Paul will now explain what it means to be under grace, slaves to righteousness. Romans 6 verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Let it not be. Do you know that to whom you yield yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to him who you obey? Whether it is sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to our God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that from of doctrine to which you were delivered. Then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak in the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members as slaves to uncleanliness and to lawless act unto lawless act, even so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness under holiness." Verse 20. "For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What is righteousness and how do we know what holiness is? Yahweh's definition of righteousness is the book of the law, Deuteronomy 6 verse 25. And if we are careful to do all these commandments before Jehovah our God, as he has commanded us, it shall be our righteousness. And to understand holiness, we need to study through the book of Leviticus as a whole. We need to be righteous as individuals so that we can be holy as a nation to Yahweh. Then we can become the promised kingdom of priests as we are predestined. And for those who believe that holiness is done away with because there is no temple, take it up with Peter. First Peter 1 verse 15 and 16. But according to the Holy One who has called you, you also become holy in all conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. Released from the law of marriage. Romans 7 verse 1. Or are you ignorant, brothers? For I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the married woman was bound by law to the living husband, but if the husband is dead, she is freed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress, but if the husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress by becoming another man's wife. Verse 4. So, my brothers, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, so that you should be married to another, even to him raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin worked in our members through the law to bring forth fruit to death. Verse 6. But now we have been set free from the law, having died to that in which we were held, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Free from the law? Which law? All of the book of the law? No, the law of marriage to foreign gods because of the Baal worship that caused the ordinance of sin and death. The law of sin. Romans 7 verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Let it not be, but I did not know sin except through the law. For also I did not know lust except law said, You shall not lust. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all kinds of lust, for apart from law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Romans 7 verse 10. And the commandment which was to life, was found to be death to me. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. So indeed the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Paul speaks about the Torah as a whole, but even if you limit this to the book of the law, it does not change the context of what is said. Verse 13. Then has that which is good become death to me? Let it not be, but sin, that it might appear to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, in order that sin might become exceedingly sinful by the commandment. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Again speaking of the Torah as a whole, but the context will not change if we limit it to the book of the law. Verse 15. For that which I do, I know not. For what I desire, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I do not desire, I consent to the law that it is good. But now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working it out, but sin dwelling in me. I find then a law, when I will to do the right, evil is present with me. I need to know the law if I want to recognize the sin that is within me. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin being in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Why does Paul serve the law of God? Because it is our righteousness and we are slaves to righteousness. Deuteronomy 6 verse 25 in the context of Romans 6:15 up until the end of Romans 7. one in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. Therefore remember that you, the nations, in time past were in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he making us both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, making peace between them. Verse 16. And so that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity in himself. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom every building having been fitly framed together grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. This piece quoted in Ephesians is known as the one new man. The condemnation of the law is the fulfillment of the curses that removed Israel from the covenant of Yahweh made to the fathers. We call them the first generation and the second generation. This happened during the time of King Josiah, when Jeremiah and Ezekiel were the chosen prophets to Israel. They explained to us how the covenant of Israel was broken and how a new promise was made to save a remnant of both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. These two sticks are explained in Ezekiel chapter 37 and the death and resurrection and how these two houses was reconciled back into one new people under the Jeremiah 31:31 covenant. The story and record of this is told in the book of Acts, whereby Peter is the apostle to the Jews and Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. The lost house of Israel is those far off, and the house of Judah is those who are near. So, all the ordinances that caused the condemnation against Israel, Yahweh's people, were now abolished through the death and resurrection of Messiah. And through Messiah, the gospel message that was originally intended for all the nations of the earth are now told as the church, who is the body of Messiah, is being scattered through the four corners of the earth to the uttermost part of the heavens. This concludes the study on the Book of the Law and the Book of the Covenant, and next week we will be back in our story of Jeremiah and the kings of Israel. Thank you and God bless. Shalom.
Join us every Tuesday online to discuss the Jeremiah study and learn more about Israel's true national identity. Email Kimberly at tabernacleofdavidrestored.com for full details.